If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke, the 7th chapter, starting with the 11th verse. Luke, the 7th chapter, starting with the 11th verse. Very familiar scripture. No doubt you've heard it read or read it or heard it taught or preached, but I believe that God has got something for us this morning. If I was to put a title upon this message, it would be, Not Yet in the Grave. Turn around and tell your neighbor, it's not in the grave yet. Amen. It might not look all that great, but it's not in the grave yet. Oh, the circumstance might look doom and gloom, but it's not in the grave yet. Oh, man, I feel the anointing already. Now, it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him. And a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. She was in bad shape. You got to understand, when you're a widow, you have no one to take care of you. But if you have a son, everything's going to be all right. But when you lose your son, you're in a hopeless situation. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, Do not weep. Don't cry. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence that we feel here today. God, for the next few moments, I just pray that you would anoint me, anoint this body of flesh and blood, that I may preach a word to your people. God, I pray that you would anoint every ear to hear, every heart to receive, and every mind to understand. God, I come against the enemy that would try to bind up this service. But I loose your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. As you're being seated, say, it's not in the grave yet. Amen, amen. I can just imagine when this mother was told she was pregnant and how she felt. And I can imagine when she first felt the baby moving inside of her. You know, with my daughter, she could kick. I thought, we got a football player here. I mean, she'd just kick your hand right off. But I can imagine when she first felt it move and she told her husband and how excited they were that they're going to have a child. I can imagine when she gave birth and they handed her the baby and said, it's a boy. And then one day her husband got sick and passed away, but thank God she still had her son. But the Bible says that he passed away. I want you to know that God in each one of us has impregnated us with a promise, a ministry. Can you say amen? A vision. How many of you the Lord told you he's going to save your children? How many the Lord told you he's going to meet your financial needs? Amen. Amen. But I want you to know the devil wants to kill your promise. Oh, I didn't get a good enough amen on that. The devil would like to kill your promise. The devil would like to take your promise. And sometimes it looks bad, but I want you to know it's not in the grave yet. Amen. I said, don't give up. It's not in the grave yet. Amen. It might look bad, but don't give up. It's not in the grave yet. Something killed it. The city name literally means beautiful. Maybe the beauty killed him. Maybe the good times. You know, good times can rob you when everything's going good. We still have Pharisees and Sadducees. Pharisee is when everything's fair, you see them. Sadducees, every time you see them, they're sad. But you meet those people when things are going wrong in their life, they're in church. But when everything's going good, where are they at? Amen. What killed this young man? And when I ask you something, what's killing your promise? What's killing your heritage? What's killing your ministry? What's killing your vision? Something killed the boy. And Jesus came by and had compassion. I want you to know the Lord spoke to me. He said, tell my people I'm showing up tomorrow and I've got compassion and I'm going to take care of their needs and of their problems. Can you say amen? I am so glad that I am serving a God that shows up on Sunday morning. I've got to say that again. I am so glad I'm serving a God that shows up on Sunday morning. He is here. Amen. I said he is here. And I've come to tell you, it ain't over yet. God's still on the throne. He's still God. Everything's going to be all right. Now, I want you to see the picture. They're carrying the child out, and there's people carrying, you know, people carry the coffin. Oh, there's people that would just love. Oh, brother, I know. You just need to give up. You did your best. Surrender it, man. Give in the towel. We knew you couldn't make it anyways. Anybody ever run into those Christians? I knew it wouldn't make it. I knew you wouldn't make it. I was pastoring in Niagara Falls. The first Sunday I got there, there was a young lady stood up. She requested prayer for her husband who was a crack cocaine addict. And so I went to praying for him, and I went and ministered to him and found out he was backslidden, and he gave his heart to the Lord, and God set him free, and he was coming to church. And then one day he went to work, and he worked at a chemical factory, and some welders lit a torch, and there was flammable dust in the air, and the whole room caught on fire. 60% of his body was burned up. And because of that, they put him on drugs, and those drugs drove him right back into drugs. And she would come to church, and I'd cry. And Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I was at the door. She'd open the door and say, come on in, Pastor. You want some coffee? I said, yes, I do. I'd go sit down. He's upstairs in the bathroom with the window open, smoking crack. And he'd walk downstairs. I said, Vince, let's go to breakfast. I'm driving. And I'd take him to breakfast and talk to him, and he would cry. And later on, he told me, he said, I'd be up in the bathroom with the window open, smoking crack. I'd see you pull in and go, my God, why don't this preacher leave me alone? I had church people tell me, just give up on him. Why don't you just surrender? He's not going to change. He's not going to change. And I would say, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. God has spoken to me and said, don't give up. Don't give up. I can't do it. Yeah, but he's smoking crack. Yeah, he's doing sin. He's bad in sin. I go, yeah, but God is saying, don't give up. I went to his house one night, and him and his brother, as soon as I pulled in, they were hiding the beer and hiding the pot. And I went in and spoke to him, and he was this kind of guy. Before I would leave, he'd go, here, Pastor, he'd put this in church and give me $100 and say, put this in church. And I left there. I said, Vince, I'm praying for you, man. I'm praying for you. And next Sunday morning, I was in church. Now, I want to know, when I got home that night, people told me, you need to let him go. Next Sunday morning, I was in church. I had my eyes closed worshiping the Lord, and I opened my eyes and looked, and Vince was in the back of the church with his hands lifted in the air, tears running out of his eyes worshiping the Lord, because that night an accident happened in front of his church, and God said, this could be you. He went in and poured all the beer out, put the pot in the toilet, and flushed it. Amen. Got on his knees and gave his heart back to Jesus Christ. You know what he said? He said, thank God my pastor never gave up on me. Hallelujah. He said, I used to sit in the bathroom and say, why don't he leave me alone? But I'm glad he never gave up. I'm here to tell you, don't give up yet. Don't give up yet. It's not in the grave. God is still God. Amen. I don't care what everybody else says. You hold on to what he says. Oh my, that's good preaching. Are you still with me? And the Bible said that Jesus had compassion. He said, stop crying. Don't cry about it anymore. And then he went over and he touched the coffin. Isn't it amazing the coffin was still open? I said, isn't it amazing the coffin was still open? My mother and my grandmother told us a story back in years ago. They didn't embalm people. They just put you in a box and put you in the grave. And they talked about a little girl that died. And they put her in a casket, but the mother had a dream that the little girl wasn't dead. And as they were taking this little girl to the grave, she kept saying, open that casket. And they would say, you got to let her go. No, she's not dead. And she fought with them. Finally, someone said, open the casket and show her. And they opened up the casket. The little girl was sitting there soaking her thumb. She had went into some kind of coma and her heart rate had dropped so low they couldn't detect it. I'm here to tell you, I don't care how bad it looks. It is not over till God says it is over. Amen. And God is saying to you this morning, don't you quit. Don't you give up. It ain't over till I say it's over. And he's coming to touch the casket. Isn't it amazing? He didn't touch the young man, but he touched the casket. He didn't touch the young man. He touched what was carrying. Oh, my Lord. I said he didn't touch the young man. He touched what was carrying the young man because he didn't have to lay hands on the young man because the young man wasn't dead yet. What he had to do is lay hands on that which was carrying the young man. God doesn't have to resurrect your ministry. What he has to do is lay hands on that which is holding your ministry down. Oh, my. Let me tell you something. God does not have to lay hands on your children. If he told you they're going to be safe, they're going to be safe. But what he's going to do is lay hands on the alcohol, lay hands on the drugs, lay hands on the rebellion, and God is going to say, arise. Try and look at your neighbor and say, arise. Rise up. Amen. Rise up. Rise up. Glory to God. Rise up. And when he touched the casket, those that were carrying it stopped. I love that. God, stop them. God, shut them up. Whew. I hate negative talk. Shut up. The preacher Friday night, she stood up. I said, thank God. She yelled at 850 some ladies and said, you need to quit murmuring. Talking about your room isn't big enough. She said, here God is in this place and all you're worried about is your room. Amen. You know, we just needed to stop. I said, we just needed to stop. Amen. Pastor Mike, God is going to bless the youth, but he don't have to lay his hand on the youth. What he's going to do is tell those who are talking about it to shut up. Amen. Those who are fighting against it to stop. Amen. God is going to bless this church, but he don't have to touch great Evangel Church of God. Evangel Church of God has already been touched by God. What he's going to do is lay his hands on all those who are talking negative and trying to hold it down. He's saying, arise up, arise up, arise up. Rise up. Man, that's good preaching. Quit weeping. Touched it. And the boy sat up. He sat up. And then he started to talk. No one had to train him. He just sat up. Listen to this. And then Jesus presented him to his mother. Wow. Now listen, the trip out of Nain might have been bad. Can you imagine the trip back in? Everybody was mourning, oh, the widow's son is dead. Everybody's coming back going, wow. He's alive. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you imagine when she got home? Here she comes walking. All of her neighbors come out and said, oh man, that was the fastest funeral we ever heard of. She said, yes, it was. I said, did you leave him in the grave? No, I did not. Where is he? Hold on, he's getting ready to come around the corner. Amen. He's not dead yet. Praise the Lord. There was a widow that was shouting and praising God. Listen to me. The next morning, out in the front yard, they had a coffin with a for sale sign on it. Amen. Because it wasn't needed anymore. Amen. I told the first service, I'm going to tell you this. I had one day I answered the phone. I was in my 20s. Answer the phone. Someone said, hello. This is so-and-so, so-and-so from so-and-so. We have grape plots on sale. I'm like, I'm in the 20s here. I'm not expecting. I said, bro, I'm a young man. He said, yeah, but if you buy it now, you get it on a great deal. And quickly I said, you know what? Maybe I'll rent it. He said, what? I go, I'll rent it. He said, what are you talking about? I said, listen, if I die, you can put me in there. But when Jesus calls me, I'm coming out. Amen. And then you can put anybody else you want in there. Amen. She had a coffin sale. I'm here to tell you, it is time to have a coffin sale. It is time to get rid of it. Amen. Because it's not dead yet. It is still alive. God has still got it for you. It's not too late. It's not too late. God is going to resurrect your vision. God is going to resurrect your calling. God is going to resurrect your ministry. It's not over yet. Don't weep, but shout, because the Son of God is coming by to touch you and to raise it up again.
Amen.
He gave back to her mother. You know, sometimes family can drive you nuts. Especially those outlaws and amen. I have a wonderful mother-in-law. She called us one time. So what are you doing? We said, we're going to pick up a new bed. What do you mean? I said, we went out and bought a king-size bed. She said, you too big for the other? You know, sometimes you just need to call up your family. Say, it's not over yet. God is still God. Amen. Sometimes you need to poke a church member and say, it's not over yet. God is still God. I've been hurt. I've been let down, and it felt like it had died. My ministry had died. I've been let down. It felt like my vision had died. Let me tell you something, Evangel Church of God. God is not over with this church. I said, God is not over with this church. Amen. And those who said it's in the coffin, we need to tell them there's a coffin sale going on. It's not dead. It's alive, because he's still God. I went out and bought a Ford Tempo. Any of you got one? I feel sorry for you. But I got this Ford. It was an older car. You know, in my family, my wife always drove the nice, and I got what was left. Because that's God's will. She told me it was God's will. I said, how do you know that? She said, the Bible said, husbands, love your wife like Christ loves the church. And Christ wouldn't take the best and leave the church with the worst. But I prayed over this temple. Prayed over, God, don't never let it stop running. Wow, that was a blessed car. The stuff on the roof that starts flopping down, hanging down and starts blowing in the wind. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I just tore that off. Had foam, you know, you had to watch getting in and out. If you hit the foam, it got all over you. But it kept on running. I sold it to a man in the church. And 1 year later, he came and says, Pastor, I'm going to take you out to breakfast. I went there and got in the car and looked, and bungee cords were holding the doors on. But it kept on running. 1 year later, he took it to the junkyard and gave it to the junkyard. I'm serious. He came and picked me up and said, Pastor, you got to come and see this. We went to the junkyard. They cut the body off and was driving the rest of the round picking up stuff. And they got it on the junkyard, said, this thing doesn't stop running. And the member of the church says, because it's blessed. No, hallelujah. Because it's blessed. Amen. I want you to know it might look like the doors are falling off. It might look like everything's going wrong. It might look like you want to throw in the towel. But I've come to tell you, hold on. It's not in the grave yet. God is going to raise it up. God is going to bless it. God is going to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. And you see, God sometimes, you know, Jesus could have came by anyway and blessed that kid when he was sick. But at that point, he would have just been a healer of the sick. But he waited till he was in the coffin, heading to the grave. Because after he did it, they all were going, my Lord, a mighty prophet is in our midst. Amen. Listen to me. Sometimes God waits just a little bit to do it so that you know it was only God that did it. Amen. To build up your faith. Oh, listen to me. It's not over. I used to have a VHS of sports bloopers. And the most famous sports blooper there is, a fumble happened on the 3-yard line, either the 3 or the 2-yard line. The man picked it up and ran 98 yards the wrong way. His own team was trying to tackle him. I'm serious. The coaches and everybody was yelling. He was getting it, man. He got across the goal line and was jumping and turned around and looked, and he had scored 2 points for the visiting team. He was in the locker room, sat down, did this. Oh, tears running out of his eyes. Oh, the coach came up to him and said, son, what you did was terrible. It was an unbelievable mistake. But the first half is over. It happened in the first half. First half is over. I got confidence in you, son. I know you're a great football player. You go in there and you play the second half. He went in and played the second half. He scored touchdown, caught passes. He was the MVP of the game. Somebody say amen. Oh, I've come to tell you, the first half is over. I said the first half is over, but I've got another half to go. Amen. And I want the devil to know I might have made a mistake in the first half, but the second half, I'm going to be a MVP. I'm going to get it. It's going to be up. God is going to raise my ministry back up again. My vision. It's going to happen. Amen. Because it's not in the grave yet. Might be on its way, but it's not there yet. How many of you had last minute miracles from God? Hallelujah.